it was a great experience for me.
But you're wonderful with the local information as well. I mean, the River of Dreams, the story of the Hudson River, is right here. We can see it right out the window. An exciting book as well.
Well, thank you. In later life, after my travels and living in the city for many years.
Security than all that military spending. Yeah. We would make friends.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
We believe in community. We are a hands-on participatory radio station and serve many communities. WGXE's volunteer programmers range in age from 9 to 84 and come from all walks of life. What they produce is as varied as the communities we serve. WGXE is an unbiased source for local news and cultural affairs information. Programming made by and for youths airs daily, and our celebrated music programming is unique, diverse, and eclectic.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that average daily COVID-19 case counts have risen 35% across the country in recent weeks as the holiday season approaches. And COVID-19 is roaring back locally, too, with Columbia County Schools reporting COVID-19 cases have nearly tripled since October 1st. The number of active coronavirus cases in Ulster County jumped 118% since November 4th, and in Dutchess County, case counts are up 62% since November 1st. And the Public Works Department in Hudson canceled the November 18th recycling collection because of coronavirus. Now the Times Union reports that Albany County is reporting its highest single-day total of COVID-19 cases since late January, a time when few people were vaccinated. On November 18th, Albany County reported 191 new coronavirus cases, and the last time the county reported that many cases was January 28th. Quote, while we don't know if this is a sign of an even worse trend, it should be a wake-up call as we head into the holiday season when many families and friends are coming together to celebrate, unquote, Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said. Quote, this virus is spreading at an alarming rate, and we know that more infections often lead to more hospitalizations and deaths further down the road, unquote. In the past month, Albany County reported 19 deaths and 136 hospitalizations. Last year, during the same time period, there were 11 deaths and 99 hospitalizations in Albany County. Quote, we need everyone to do their part by getting vaccinated, getting the booster shot, wearing masks indoors, staying home if you're feeling sick, and if you're celebrating Thanksgiving with family and friends next week, consider getting tested beforehand, unquote, McCoy said. Meanwhile, the Berkshire Eagle reports that in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, second graders at Morningside Community School are being forced to quarantine until after the Thanksgiving holiday because of a coronavirus outbreak there. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Sam Rowland reports for Columbia Green Media that on November 16th, Common Council President Tom DiPietro said sometime in the next month, the Common Council will choose someone to fill the second seat in the third ward. Calvin Lewis won the seat in this fall's election after he announced he was dropping his candidacy because of his new role as the assistant director with the Hudson Youth Department. Write-in candidates Amber Harris and Saoirse Mazan finished behind Lewis, receiving 84 and 22 votes respectively. That may not influence the council's choice, DiPietro said. He said, and I quote, "The fact is many people could have voted for Calvin Lewis knowing he wasn't accepting it, but knowing that they'd rather have the council decide," end quote. He said the council is taking applications to be third ward representative. He said, and I quote, "At some point we will interview all the applicants and as a council choose the next member from the third ward," end quote. Editors note DiPietro is a volunteer WGXC programmer, and you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Sam Raldins reports for Columbia Green Media that Catskill Town Supervisor Dale Finch indicated support for cannabis sales there. We did not rule out holding a vote opting out, getting the tax revenue that comes with a retail store in town. He said he was, quote, on board, unquote, with allowing sales in Catskill, but did not say if he wanted to opt out of lounges where cannabis could be consumed. New York legalized cannabis use in April, but it will be at least until next year before sales begin. Towns and villages have until December 31st to opt out of allowing retail sales or consumption sites. Cannabis is legal everywhere now in New York, and municipalities cannot opt out of legalization. Finch held a forum November 17th to gauge local opinions on the issue, which were largely positive. Lester Ostajic said he did not want to drive to Great Barrington, Massachusetts or Hudson to spend his money, but I think there's a real growth opportunity on a broad scale for the town if it gets on the ground floor of this sort of thing, unquote, he said. An unidentified Catskill resident also favored allowing lounges. Quote, "For those that are like nay on the cafes, I just think of all the bars that are in our town, all the liquor stores that are in our town. There's more liquor stores than there are parks for kids, right? There'll be way more trouble or danger coming out of a bar than there would ever be coming out of a cafe," unquote, she said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that 25% of newspapers in the country closed in the last 15 years. Democrat State Senator Rachel May is proposing a bill to help readers see more local news in New York through grants and partnerships with the state's public colleges and universities. May said, and I quote, "The decline of local news sources has left our residents and communities without access to critical information. Local news has always been the tether that keeps people engaged, informed, and connected to where they live and those around them. Whether it is local Little League scores, the conversation at this week's town board meeting, or the location of the next local vaccine clinic, this information is vital to a thriving community. The legislation will help begin to rebuild trusted local news sources across the state so that we may all be better informed on what is taking place in our towns and neighborhoods," end quote. Locally, the radio stations owned by Heart Radio dropped news coverage recently, and the Watershed Post online reporting ended. The Register Star, the Daily Mail, the Daily Freeman have all cut back coverage, too. In the past year, though, the Times Union has expanded Hudson Valley coverage, and the Porcupine Soup online newspaper started in Greenville. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Jeanette Wolfberg reports in the Columbia paper that Hudson Housing Authority commissioners believe the local housing crisis has spilled over into Bliss Tower in Hudson. Quote, "People are sleeping in the stairway. People are sleeping in the hallway. People are sleeping in the laundry room," unquote, Commissioner Robert Davis said about Bliss Tower during a November 10th meeting. Davis is one of the two commissioners on the authority that live in the Hudson housing complex. Davis reported seeing, quote, "people sleeping on the counter in the laundry room at 5:30 in the morning when I'm going to work," unquote. Board Chair Ravonda Smith called that news, quote, "devastating," unquote, and thought that it was due to Hudson's housing crisis. She said that Columbia County Adult Services should be notified. Commissioner Rebecca Borer said that the housing authorities Housing choice vouchers for housing outside of Bliss, but in the Hudson area, are going unused because there is nowhere in the city with sufficiently low rents. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
The Berkshire Eagle reports that Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker announced November 18th that all residents 18 and older in the state are now eligible to get a COVID-19 booster shot. The booster shots are only available 6 months after receiving a second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines, or 2 months after receiving the Johnson & Johnson single-dose vaccine. In Massachusetts, more than 70% of residents are fully vaccinated. Currently in New York, anyone aged 18 to 49 years with underlying medical conditions or who are, and I quote, 18 to 64 years who believe that they are at risk for COVID-19 exposure and transmission because of occupational or institutional settings, end quote, may receive the booster shot. In New York, currently 67.7% of the total population is fully vaccinated. And you can read more about that story at the Berkshire Eagle.
And Mid-Hudson News reports that on November 18th, New York's Public Service Commission approved rate hikes for Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. customers. Electric revenues will decrease $1.1 million in the first year under the approved plan, and then increase by $8 million and $8.7 million in the second and third years, respectively. The gas delivery revenue increases will be $3.9 million in the first year, $3.9 million in the second year, and $4 million in the third year. Central Hudson asked for much higher rates. Instead, electric customers face a 33-cent decrease in the average monthly bill during the first year, then a $1.72 increase in the second year, and a $1.82 increase in the third year. The average monthly bill of the typical gas customer would increase by $1.64 in the first year, $2.17 in the second year, and $1.50 in the third year. The Public Service Commission also mandated efforts to promote energy efficiency, demand response, and geothermal deployment. The rate increases are through June 30th, 2024, when Central Hudson will ask for more. Read more about the story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, a slight chance of showers between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 44 degrees. It will be mostly clear Friday night with a temperature low of around 24 degrees. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 44 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 32. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears.